You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we in the conversation, man.
Yes.
You man D Lemon, man, on my right hand side.
I ain't really, you're right.
On my left hand side.
Oh, it's your boy Ali.
Yeah, man, we in the conversation. We got one cat that's on location.
Live via satellite.
You just try to guess who it was. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the theater, the bar. Man, we got a collect call in. From behind the wall. Have mercy.
Have mercy.
Gentlemen, what's cracking with y'all, man? Feels good.
Man, I'm fresh off that MLK weekend.
Ooh wee.
You know what I mean?
The king.
The king.
The king.
The doctor.
If we could light a candle for every. Remember that record? Remember on McDonald's commercials? If we could light a candle for everything he's done.
For everything.
Y'all remember that?
Nah,
for everything here. That light was shine so brightly.
We're going to have to look that one up and drop that one on the Facebook.
We're going
to
drop that on the Facebook. That was the old Dr. Martin Luther King McDonald's commercial ad that she used to come on every year. Anyway, man, what did you do to celebrate? Go ahead.
Hey, I got to say, man, you do have a very authentic old school R&B flow to you. I want to compliment you on that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. You know, I went to the school of Al Jarreau.
But, got a little Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah, man, one of the best. One of the best. What you do for King Day?
King Day, per se, was real laid back. But, you know, we hit the Selma. You know what I mean? I celebrated by doing a lot of watching the black internets.
Okay, the black internets. Did you see Selma?
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
Yeah, we did the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Selma's been running conversation, you know, over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, had to make sure we went out and supported.
Shit, I'm the last one that didn't do
man,
it.
Hey, man, don't worry. You
I got it, though.
Go ahead and make it happen. Go ahead and make that happen, man. You know.
All that marching he did, and I got the nerve to wait till the shit come on fucking DVD.
Oh man,
D, D,
you still got time.
D, I'm gonna go see it.
You want to see it as a good movie, or you feel like as a black man, it's your responsibility to see it?
I feel like it's twofold. I heard it's good. You know what I mean? I'm done with going to see shit just as one of my black duties. I've done enough, you know, black duty watching in my life. Pause. That sounded crazy, but I've done enough of that just to watch it because it's the right thing to do. But I've heard from everybody, it seems like it's unanimously the shit. Right. It's a good ass movie, so I want to see it. And
there's a certain group of people that didn't think so, which is the Oscar, you know, committee. They didn't think Ava was good enough.
I mean, it's gonna be a point in time where y'all gonna stop, you know, letting them decide what's good for you. You know what I'm saying? Just because they say it ain't good don't mean it ain't good. I don't think Friday was nominated for shit.
Nah.
And that shit was good.
Menace.
Boys in the Hood. But they did get nominated for it.
They did get, yeah, did they? Get,
did I they think win? They got nominated. I don't know. They won
something. They win. I think Singleton might have something.
Yeah,
let's
wins
not,
in
let's
that. So
House Party.
You know what I'm saying? That was Boomerang. Good as shit. Boomerang. That's classic.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Coming to America.
Listen, man.
Hey, you don't know the king.
It don't matter, man. Some shit, you know. Oscar, what the fuck, man? It is what it is.
You know what I mean? So, you know, they can't tell you what's good and what's. Everybody looking for the validation, but go see the shit you think is good, period.
Never let a statue tell me how nice I am.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
I will say this, though, man. It's funny. This is cool, kind of sad, but it's funny how people of color, well, just people in general, we hate for whatever reason. People were hating on Selma because the actors weren't domestic black.
Oh, domestic black. Interesting.
Domestic black. I mean, that was her squad, man. Them cats, they worked with her before. She's worked with those actors. That's her squad. That's what it is, man. I mean, how many of them wasn't domestic?
You know, the star of the show was
the star, but
you know,
shit.
You know, yeah. I think Coretta was also Nigerian. Was she not?
All right. Yeah, it's black. Yeah. It's the diaspora player. Y'all like Idris, don't you?
No, I'm with you. It's just funny how cats just be cynical about everything. Like, you know, it's a black, great a film, and they'll still find a way to inject cynicism into the conversation.
They should have got some locally sourced blacks is what you're telling
yeah,
us.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Hey, man. Okay. Hey, listen, man.
I can see what you're saying.
Y'all doing too much out here.
I can see what you're saying, streets. Man. You know, it's very, very hard to please
everybody. You can't please everybody.
You can't just be pleasing these motherfuckers.
Everybody.
Everybody going to have something to say. But that's the cool thing. I tell you some MLK-related shit. Now, as many people know, I fucked up. You know, yesterday was the day you observe Martin Luther King's birthday, right? Now, his birthday was on the 15th or the 18th, something not yesterday.
Right.
So I'll go ahead and I put a photo of King up on my Instagrams, right?
Hilarious.
And I should have just said King.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or some shit. But I said happy birthday, King, right?
You got slaughtered.
Oh, man. I had so much low bullshit slander in my Instagram. Some nigga called me a coon. Said he don't respect me no more. Niggas was face palming all in my shit. Listen, man. I made an honest mistake. I think motherfuckers have made this mistake before. I would have been more on point if I was still in school every day where it's like, okay, this is the day, and this is the day you get off. Right. Understand that there's a discrepancy. But, dude, I don't even work in corporate America no more, right. So every day is King Day as far as I'm concerned. Right. I got next fucking Tuesday off and Monday. So, and I meant for at least I didn't put a picture of Martin Luther King with like a face tattoo or a big ass Cuban link chain, like
the rest some people did.
Yeah, and a hoodie and shit. I just put a regular old picture, you know.
You just had to, you know, but you know, the internet is waiting.
The internet
is waiting.
They
can't wait to make you an example.
I almost deleted it and did a re-upload, but I was like, I got to sit with that out.
Yeah, and they gonna dig it back up. And somebody already got the screenshot.
MLK. Yeah, I took an L on MLK Day.
And I think Dr. King knew your intentions, Damien.
Dr. King knew. Happy belated.
Exactly. They still play happy birthday to you on King Day.
What you mean?
The Stevie Wonder. Happy birthday. That's the Dr. King.
Is that for Dr. King?
The remix? You think it was just for itself?
I thought that was just Stevie
just
did a
happy
remix.
Birthday song?
I thought that was just a remix
nah,
for
that was
a remix.
For Dr. King.
That was for Dr. King. Yeah. Go ahead, King.
That's when they didn't want to give King the holiday in some states like Arizona.
And, I'm about to be out Stevie, in Arizona in 2 weeks.
And Stevie was, you know what I'm saying, she was championing the cause. So he made the song.
I didn't even know that. That's what's up. Stevie's very Shout political. You know, Stevie said he's not doing any more shows in Florida until some shit happened with this Trayvon Martin thing.
No doubt.
Yeah, so, you know.
Shout out to Ali for that Black History moment.
That tidbit,
there.
But he didn't know if we could light a candle up. We gonna put that on the Facebook, man. Come on,
now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's that corporate sponsored. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. There you go.
Well, what Flex say? You the corporate rapper?
Oh, man. Funkmaster Flex made a little bit of a movie, huh?
Yeah, he put his bid in on King Day. Kevin Hart had a movie. Flex had a movie.
Yeah, what you think?
Oh, man.
About Flex or Kevin Hart?
Either or, what y'all want to talk about?
Oh. We could go into Flex. I mean, you know, I don't really know what he was that mad about. I think they was just trying. He felt like they was trying to play him.
I think Funkmaster Flex is one of the funniest ranting motherfuckers in. He's one of the funniest dudes in radio still.
Right, but that's his dude. That's his thing. You know what I mean?
That is his platform. It was. I only listened to it one time. It seemed like they was beefing over some type of app or some shit like that, and
I think more so if you really dig into it is Flex saying basically they brought him in for an interview to get all of the information about the app,
yeah,
and then use that information to build the Jay-Z app, which you know what I'm saying he had you know a problem with, like okay they just trying to steal my info, and then they didn't even put none of that shit in the article,
yeah.
So, again, true to form, when they hit him again for this interview about Dipset reunion, yeah. Knowing that Jay-Z side don't fuck with Dipset.
Yeah.
So, he looking at it like this the same type of shit. What, y'all trying to come get information?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, I guess that was his beef.
I saw he felt like he was trying to get played or something.
They was trying to play him for information, and he wasn't trying to have it. So, he was going to air it out.
The question I have for y'all is, like, I feel like, is this endemic to, like, urban culture? Like, couldn't Funkmaster Flex just straight up call or, you know, talk to a lawyer privately without having to do the whole incident drama?
That's gonna get no ratings.
That don't make good radio.
That ain't no rating.
That don't make good radio.
He could have called anybody he ran it on.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is a big statement, though. It's like, you know, he coming for the king.
See, this is the thing, man. I think he coming for the king like 5 years too late. Nobody really give a fuck about Dips. Like, this feels like a throwback beef.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, we know that Dipset and Jay don't fuck with each other. We know also that there's been some things between Flex and Jay. But nobody really, like, that shit feels like a reach this go round. Like, I don't know. I mean,
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, why not just do it? It feels forced to me. It feels forced.
It kind of feels forced with him,
it always feels forced to me.
Yes and no, but I just feel like this feels a little bit more forced than, I don't know when Radio Sweeps Week is it?
I don't know.
I mean,
all his shit seems forced and ratings driven and all that shit, but.
Like, Jay would look crazy to drop a freestyle shit at all Flex right now. That would just really be giving Flex that look.
But Jay, you
that
know,
would be a hell of a, that, and Jay's one of the hardest people to troll ever in hip hop. He comes back when it's time for him to come back.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Jay has like the longest memories in a beef.
He got that elephant memory, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He would hold out to drop a corporate bomb on you like he did Nas.
What kind of corporate bomb did he drop on Nas?
Yeah, he held all the way out after that shit and then signed Nas to Def Jam and then drug his album.
Oh, you feel like that was the finishing blow?
Hey, man. Seen to me.
That was just bygones being bygones?
Damn.
Hey. I thought that was bygones being bygones.
He drugged that man out of my...
I don't know, it just seemed to me.
I can't say it was, but it seemed to me like the final. Ha ha, nigga.
I got your budget, player.
Yeah.
What you gonna do with that?
It definitely went from beef to boss. It definitely went to like that's your employer now. You know what I mean? I didn't think that was the finishing blow.
I mean, it didn't finish him, but I just felt like it was a statement in itself to me personally. You know what I'm saying? Read between the lines.
That's the thing. Let me ask you this, because this is a speculation moment. It's a speculation moment. But let me ask you this, because there's a point in life where you can't look at shit. You got to look at the long road. You got to look at the long game, right? You can't look at it like, oh, hold on, son trying to play me? You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference in when you were young and how you approach beef, and then when you get older when it's like, okay, this is beef, but this is business.
Right.
At what point do you feel, because, I mean, for...
Depending on what side you on.
For the 17-year-old me, if I was looking at the Nas Jay-Z thing, and it was a little bit of those remnants of that when it happened, I was like, damn, so Nas going about to sign to Jay-Z after Jay-Z just dissed him and they went after that? But at the same time, that nigga was trying to put his album out.
No doubt. That's what I'm saying. Depending on what side you on. So if you Nas and you know what I'm saying, you got a little tax troubles and you know what I'm saying, you trying to get this album out, you about to go through a divorce and shit.
Okay, but even if you ain't had none of that, even if it was just good business.
If it was good business.
Would you say, nah, I'm not doing it?
No, I'm not saying that you say nah that you're doing. But if you need a deal and this man is offering you a deal, then, you know what I'm saying, 7 times out of 10, you're going to put your pride aside and do the deal.
7 times out of 10?
7 times out of 10.
Where'd you get the 7 from?
From the niggas with the pride and the ego.
7, the god number.
You know what I'm saying? The cats with the pride and the ego that might be fighting up in the building or some shit. But, you know what I'm saying? There's an odds that you're going to take the deal. You know what I'm saying? But if you Jay and you know what I'm saying? Not to say that, like I said, not to say that this was his intentions or whatever, but if you had the elephant memory and the grudge and you like, yeah, let's do it. And you sign the man, you drag his budget out, don't drop his album on time.
Is that what happened?
That first album didn't come out on time. It was drug out.
But was that the N-Word album? Was that the one where he was the nigga album?
I think so.
That kind of slowed shit down, too. If you ever say, I'm going to take my shit to market, I need to be called nigga. It might be a little, we might have to have another meeting about this.
I think L.A. Reid more had a problem with the title.
Okay. Yeah, but that's a hell of a title.
It was a hell of a title. I'm just saying, if you're on the other side of the table as the boss, then it wouldn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't matter if you did the deal or not.
That'd be a hell of a name for a diss track, though. Elephant memory.
Elephant memory.
Hell yeah.
Just everybody that dissed you your whole life talking about niggas in third grade.
Bow.
Oh, man. Nah, man, but the flex shit, it was, it made for good radio. Nothing more than that. Like, I see, you know, I see that it looks like it's they trying to kind of reignite the Dipset Jay-Z beef. I don't even think if it don't feel the same.
Dipset ain't got nothing for it to feel the same at this very second.
And neither does Jay. Jay by himself. It ain't like it's Rockefeller. Or, I mean, you know, who knows? Eh.
And I think also there's also the lack of expectations. Like, Funk is not going to put out a diss track on Jay. You know what I mean?
Funk don't make tracks.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he did, if it was a rap, he'd be like, oh, so-and-so's going to come back with a diss track. But because it's a DJ, like, what's he going to put out?
Sometimes the beef just loses its relevance. Like, for instance, you saw that LL and Cannabis finally made up, like, 10 years after the fact. Like, nobody gave a fuck.
They
going to
do a record together?
I don't know what happened, but LL was performing at the Barclays. And he brought Cannabis out in the middle of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They gave each other a pound to show the world, like, the beef was over in 2014.
LL moment.
Yeah, I mean, nigga, this shit should have happened in 99.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. At some point, the beef is stale.
Right.
That shit is like, you got to throw that beef out.
Right. So, wait, Damien, are you saying that beef doesn't carry the same amount of cultural weight that it did back in the 90s when hip-hop was a little more gritty?
Nah, right. I think the beef is only as relevant as those involved.
Beefers.
Yeah, as those involved. And there's a timeline to that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we just heard right now, if we're breaking news, Melly Mel and Busy B finally patched things up, it'd be 7 people that would give a fuck about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know. So that's what I'm talking about.
But in this whole situation, though, the only thing I have a problem with, you know what I'm saying, it's a current thing. It's an ongoing thing with Hot 97 is that, you know what I'm saying, you know, they consistently make statements like, I'll kill your career. And it ain't just been Flex, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's been other, like, Ebro has said it, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just an ongoing thing with a radio station that says they're going to kill an artist's career. And I don't really feel like that's the place of a radio station.
Nah, it shouldn't be. That's very biased. You know what I'm saying? That's very biased and very vindictive.
And it's like, what?
and it's, I don't, I mean, maybe the station could kill certain careers, but I don't, I mean, I think it has to be a combination of many things. You know what I mean? Like, I think, one, that's a God complex. Mm. And I think kind of that could be one of the worst things that could happen to a radio station, thinking you're more relevant than you really are.
Than the content that you provide. Like, you don't make no records.
Yeah.
This, Hot 97 makes no records. Yeah. So without the artists, you just playing records. And it's almost like in a few years, this is just what it's going to be. Because you don't need the radio to play records for you no more.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's just a platform.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it depends on where you are in your career. If you're trying to break through, you may need radio. Now, if you've already established a fan base and things of that nature and you got a relationship with these people, radio isn't as integral. You know what I mean? Right. So it depends on where you are. It's kind of whack that radio would be like, yo, we're going to destroy you on some personal shit. But, you know, that's all over. That's all over. I got a question for you. Do you really believe, you know how you always hear people say, I got blacklisted?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in being blacklisted?
In certain instances. I mean, depend on, like you said, where you at in your career. Because, and who the fuck you piss off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a certain level of blacklist that, you know what I'm saying, that's just a small pocket. It's a certain level of motherfuckers who may have a grudge against you that have a longer phone book and longer reach and more economic wherewithal that a lot of other people got to make money with them, and they rather make money with them than make money with you. But overall, the blacklist is just, you know what I'm saying, I think you can get around it in most cases, but I ain't never been to the top. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure, like, you know what I'm saying, how that Arsenio Hall blacklist worked out for all those years.
He
pissed a lot of motherfuckers off.
See
that
how
one.
Sophisticated it really was.
You know what I mean? Because, woo, they put him on out there all the way out.
That'd be a hell of a show, Behind the Blacklist.
Exactly.
Where they break down why a motherfucker didn't go any further. Like, well, I'm going to tell you why. It started here.
Right.
And then we did this, and then we did that, and that nigga was never heard from again.
So hilarious. I think the higher.
Hey, yo.
Yeah,
yo,
but
why do it gotta be black?
All right. Man.
He can't be.
Why the list got to be black, Damien? Why got to
be
black?
You can't be coming from left field with left field shit, dog. You gotta make this shit seem a little bit more seamless. Like, the seams is looking crazy.
Seamless. A little more seamless.
This nigga here.
Are you blacklisting me? Anyway.
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, man. That's crazy. What's happening with you, D? What you do this weekend?
Man, I'm chilling. This weekend, I just kicked it. What did I do this weekend? I didn't do shit. I got back from L.A. I was in L.A. for 10 days.
How was that?
That shit was crazy, man. It was very intense. I was out there working on a show, and it was every day, long-ass days. It was good. It was good. It was one of those days where you just got to kind of put your head down and get to the other side of this whole shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think we came away with something that's going to be funny. You know what I mean? Hopefully I'll be able to talk about it at length in the upcoming weeks and months and shit, but... It was good, man. It was good just to be out there. It made me come back to say, you know, I gotta put something else in the world. I need
to
create some of my own shit. So
exactly.
I'm back in the lab right now.
Yeah, I think that's where, I mean, that's my whole shit is lined up for, like, you know, I look at some of the work we did last year, and it wasn't our own ideas a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? Out of all the projects we did, it was, you know what I'm saying, client work. It was work to the invoice work, you know what I mean? But right now, it's all about getting to the, you know, original shit and balancing it out a little bit.
Yeah. Nah, I hear that shit.
Nah, man.
Vlad, what up with you, man?
You know, I'm working on a pilot right now that we're presenting tonight at UCB. Uh-huh. Hopefully it'll go well, doing some writing on that. But outside of that, dude, I've just been out here still trying to figure a couple of things out, man.
Trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure a couple things out.
I hear that shit.
Trying to help some family members with their taxes.
Yo, what you do for your birthday? I know your birthday passed last week and all of that, man. Happy belated.
Man, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah, what did you do?
I went out with the lady, and she took me to the chocolate room.
Uh-oh.
Over in Brooklyn, a little chocolate spot. They got cakes and all kinds of desserts. And the mistake I made was that prior to that, she took me to a ramen spot. I love ramen.
Okay.
And I had ramen followed with cake. So, you know, that combination was
a little bubbly.
Wasn't a good look, man. It wasn't a good look, man. But the chocolate room, I recommend it, man. The chocolate room was amazing.
The chocolate room.
It sounded like a strip club. Went to the chocolate room.
Not the right kind of strip club either.
I know.
Oh, man. Cool.
Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
Oh, shit. All right, you fucking up now.
Oh, man. But, yo, did y'all hear about the situation in France with the terrorism attacks?
Yeah.
And
everybody threw a fit because Obama didn't show up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know. Yeah. Look, man.
When you running shit, you can't just show up to everything. You
That's what I'm saying.
You gotta weigh shit out and see where it falls on the political spectrum.
And they got the right to be mad. Fuck it, they just
Absolutely.
Be mad.
Yeah, that should too.
You know, it is what it is. That ain't nothing but a feeling. You get over that.
But then France always like fall in the middle, like.
What you mean?
Like, as an ally.
Oh, they halfway in, halfway
out?
Yeah,
I mean, they ain't really about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Britain is about it. They going to go down with it.
With the ship. France is in and
France
out.
France is like, hey, you know.
Oh, so that's what they get for being sometimey.
You know, I'm not sure that's how it is, but that's what it seems. Like, the cultural references suggest that, you know, France is in and out. Hey.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But on a real note, though,
all right.
You know, Ali and I were talking this week about kind of just telling your story,
okay,
and kind of just letting people decide for themselves how to interpret your work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, this week, I don't know if you know, there's an author by the name of Junot Diaz. I'm sure you know him, Dan, Ali.
Yeah.
His book, he wrote a book called The Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
And the book is heavily seated in Dominican content.
Uh huh.
And it was rated number one of the you know, the best books in the 21st century.
I think he won a Pulitzer for that, didn't he?
Yeah, but like they ranked it number one in the 21st century as one of the best novels.
That's what's up.
So just to bounce back off what Ali talked about last week, you just gotta tell your story.
Shout out to Juno Diaz, man. Come on in the conversation. Talk about your ranking, man.
You know what I mean?
Talk about, you know. This is the place to come through if you want to speak
talk
to
about
you.
Your ranking.
You know what I mean? Talk about being number one in that motherfucker.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I mean, D, I don't know if you go through this as a, you know, a black artist, honestly, but sometimes, you know, I get caught up in, do people understand my story and my narrative, you know?
And
it's just like, you just kind of gotta just do you, basically.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know what it is, also, your story is much bigger than what you do on stage, you know what I'm saying? They only gonna get a slice of it. Your story ain't no nutshell shit, so... It's just what you want to share with them. Like, I don't even share my entire story. I just share stories. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell them about this story. This is the story. So you get a slice of it. But I don't really care if they know me front to back when I leave the stage or even when I'm on the stage. As long as I'm funny, as long as it's resonating, as long as you get a kick out of what I'm doing while I'm on there it is. You know what I'm saying? And I can't worry about how people will receive what I'm putting out. As long as I'm true to how I'm expressing it, that's where it's going to end for me.
And I think each situation, you know what I'm saying, you just have to be in that moment. You know what I mean? So a friend of mine who listens to the In the Conversation podcast, you know what I'm saying, he knows me. He doesn't know D. He doesn't know Vlad. So he's trying to get to know who we are, you know what I'm saying, through the podcast. And interestingly, this week, you know what I'm saying, he said he went to laughingvlad.com and watched all of your shit, and he understood you a whole lot more than from just what he got from In the Conversation, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, just each little piece of thing that you do, you have to, you know, be in that moment. And the people who want to know, they'll string it all together and then figure out what they could figure out from that.
Yeah.
That was a great plug, Ali. I appreciate it, man.
Ah, man, you know. It wasn't intended to be a plug. It was, you know, it was a conversation, but that's a real story, like, you know what I'm saying? That's a real, like, you know what I mean? It's real feedback.
Because, you know, I was listening to Ava, you know, I saw Ava talk about Selma at the Q&A, and she was just talking about the responsibility she had as a black artist in portraying King, you know, in portraying people of color in films, you know, a certain way. So I don't know if, like, D, if you wrestle with that, or Ali, you as a filmmaker, if because you're a person of color, you kind of have this part of responsibility where you kind of have to kind of add extra nuance to your storytelling.
I mean, not really. Like I said, I go with the moment. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're telling an all-white story, but from your lens. You know what I'm saying? People hire you because they respect your point of view. So all you're going to do is take a situation and add your point of view to it and tell the story. I like to tell the story as I see it, you know. So, it you know, the only thing black that's in the story sometimes is my point of view, you know what I mean? And, you know what I'm saying, sometimes that's enough because you could show a different side than what they would normally see, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times that becomes the power of your point of view. But – other than that, you know what I'm saying, as far as being black, you know what I'm saying, you know, only thing I try to do is, you know what I'm saying, stay relevant and understanding my culture because I'm in it, you know what I mean? Those people I see a lot, you know? And other than that, you know, that's shit. Even that ain't always all black, but you got to go with what you got.
I'll tell you a story. I was in L.A., right?
Have mercy.
I was in L.A., right? I was out there. I was out there for 10 days, right? So I get out there, and I touch down probably like 9:30. So I get to the hotel probably around 11 o'clock. I'm tired of shit. It's a nice hotel. You know what I mean? Decent hotel. I'm not going to say the name for the story. But so we in the hotel and shit. I'm in the hotel, and like I might have had a drink or something, but I didn't think I was drunk. I might have been a little tip. You know what I'm saying? Had a couple drinks. So I go to open up the mini bar. And when I open up the mini bar, there's like a little sliver, like a crack between the refrigerator and the cabinet that is housing, right? And I see some gray shit. that look like a mouse. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at the shit, and you know how you think you see a mouse? First of all, you're in a hotel. You're like, oh, fuck, I hope this ain't a mouse in the fucking hotel. This is some bullshit. It's like 11:30. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to sleep. I got to wake up tomorrow. This is some bullshit. So I'm looking at it. And you know how if you look in a mouse, I don't know if you ever had a mouse anywhere in your house or any, you know, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but if you ever had a mouse in your crib, you ever seen a mouse, sometimes a mouse will just look at you and just stay still. So me and the mouse is looking at each other with the stillness for about damn near 7 seconds, and then it looked like the shit kind of moved, so I slammed the door, like, oh shit, I got a mouse in my shit. I start packing my shit. I text my manager, like, yo, if I seen a mouse in my hotel and I leave hotel, you think it's gonna be a big deal? He was like, "What's the mouse's name?" or some shit like that. I'm like, "All right, funny with the one line. It's no serious." He's like, "Nah, get out of there." So I'm calling. I call a housekeeper. I say, "Yo, there's a mouse in here. You know what I mean? Blase Skip. I need them to come see this. So when I say I'm checking out, it's all good." So I'm bugging. I got the thing closed. They say, "Yo, we're gonna send somebody up ASAP." So guy comes up. I guess one of the super or whatever, mm-hmm. like the janitor or whatever for the hotel comes up and shit. And he's like, "Yo, what happened?" I said, "Yo, I got a mouse in here." He said, "You got a mouse in here?" I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "For real? A mouse?" And I'm like, "All right, here you go, playing the role and shit. Like, yeah, I ain't never seen a mouse of this motherfucker before." Okay, all right. "Yeah, I got a mouse here. It's in that shit." He was like, "Really?" So he goes on his walkie. He's like, "Yo, come to room 404. We got a mouse. Bring a big bag. So boom, I'm like, "Yo, who'd you call?" He said, "I just called another guy at housekeeping. He's going to come through with a bag. We're going to get this thing." He was like, "Yo, what'd it look like?" I was like, "It looked like a mouse." He was like, "Oh, man, it's in there." I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Oh, man, this is crazy. I've never seen a mouse here. I've been working here like 9 years. I've never seen this before." I'm like, "All right, here you go. All right, you laying it on thick." So then his man show up like 2 minutes later with a big old plastic bag and shit.
And a hazmat suit.
Damn, nah. But he's excited. Right. He's like, "Yo, what's up?" He's like, "Yo, what's a mouse?" And he's like, "A mouse? Word?" He's like, yeah, it's a mouse. He was excited and shit. And then there's another knock at the door. The maid comes in. And he's like, "Yo, we got a mouse." And she's like, "It's a mouse? Really? A mouse?" So they all excited about this fucking mouse. So now I'm like, well, maybe they don't be having mice like this. Maybe they are genuinely excited. So they, I had packed all my shit up. I got my shit on top of the thing. They're going to open this thing. They trying to set up the bag. They putting together their play. They like, "All right, you stand on that side. I'm going to open it up. You make sure you got the bag open, because when I shake it, he going to come out, and I want him to come into the bag." You know, they got this shit planned masterfully.
He know how to do this.
Yeah, he know how to do this. I'm like, okay, this your first time, huh? Okay, right? So they open the door. I'm behind. They open the door. I'm trying to record it, too, or the low, right? Because I figured this shit could be funny, and I might need this as proof. I need to change hotels. So then they open the door, and then he's telling his man, hold the bag, make sure you hold the bag open. He's like, he's smacking it, waiting for some shit to come out, and nothing come out, and he's smacking it, and he's jumping back, because you know how you don't want to, you know, so he's smacking it again, and jumps back. Then he starts, like, shaking the actual refrigerator, thinking something's going to come from behind it, like, vroom, vroom. So we all waiting and shit, ain't nothing happening, right? So then, so they like, all right, so they damn near just pull damn near the whole refrigerator, like, boom. Pull it out. Like, the whole, everybody in the room is waiting. I'm waiting for this mouse to run out. And they like, yo, they looking at me. They like, "Yo, look over there, see if you see the mouse." So I go over to see the mouse.
Shit.
So they, but they excited. Everybody still want me to identify. Like, all they want is the word. Is he there? We're going to kill him. You know, so I go over there, I look, and I see nothing. And then I see like a gray scuff on the floor, which, when you got the fucking mini fridge right there blocking it would look like a mouse. In my mind, I'm like, shit, this was what I thought was the mouse. So I got to break it to everybody, because everybody else, they still ready to go in. They're like, "You see the mouse? Where could the mouse have gone?" I had to tell them. I was like, "Yo, guys, so that thing I thought was a mouse, you see that gray thing right there? Yeah, that's what I thought was the mouse." They was like, and they were like, "Yeah, we I guess you can see. I think I see what you're talking
Take
about.
Take your ass to
Yeah, bed. They was kind of halfway just trying to let me save face. I had to give them like $10 just to buy off their respect. I was like, "All right, yo, y'all take it easy." And I didn't have a mouse. But I feel like that journey applies to all white, black, Asian, Latino. You know, it wasn't just as a black person that I saw that mouse. It was as an individual,
as a human,
who had fears
of a rodent,
And we don't know if that rodent was black, white, Asian, or Latino. It was gray.
All of the above.
And it wasn't even that. It was just the scuff and the flow. So I say all that to say sometimes it's just the scuff and the flow. We all got flaws.
Just have mercy.
Have mercy.
So, see, is that whole thing you just said, that little poetic last piece?
Yes.
Was that how you rationalized the embarrassment you felt?
No. That was more for you. I was trying to show
you
that.
He was linking in that, yeah, you know, sometimes a story is just a story.
Yeah, the $10 was for the embarrassment I had to pay. That was real life currency, but I just threw that last part off for you. But
I remember you and I were at the movie theater watching the Kevin Hart's first special.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was some mice in the fucking Magic Johnson's.
Ali, I swear to God, D has like a sixth sense for mice.
I don't fuck with him.
Yo, I don't think I don't think you've been back to that theater since.
Nah, well, I'm not going back to that theater for that very reason. For that very reason, it don't make no sense to be on guard watching it. You can't focus on the movie. I was missing punchlines.
What? Let me ask you this, man. If you with your lady in the house, right?
Yep. I know. And, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, is your lady afraid of mice?
I don't think I've never seen her in the face of a mouse in real life. I think she's afraid, but I think I might be a little bit more afraid than she is.
So if there is a mouse in the apartment, who becomes accountable to take care of the mouse?
I'm a man up just because she there, but I'm gonna be fucking like it's one of those things where you just man up because of the situation, but you still scared. You know how you gotta just power through some shit. You know what I mean? When you know you're scared to death, but you gotta. They say, the best way to deal with fear, I believe, is just to get on the other side of it. I forget. I might be fucking it up. Again, this has become a trend now. I kind of like to bring up fucking maxims and sayings that I don't really know. But there's something that was said that had something to do with the fact of basically be brave in the face of fear. That's true courage. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. If your lady is there, you don't want to be a punk.
No,
you
know what I'm saying?
You don't want her
listen,
to be
man, punk. My father's my father's superintendent in the Bronx, dog.
Is he scared of mice?
I've seen rats.
Yeah, I can't.
I've seen rats. Like hard body rats. Ali, what's up with you? Are you afraid of mice?
Not afraid of them, nah. I'm scared of frogs.
Wow.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's a childhood thing though, because we first moved from the hood to the house in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to the suburbs, kind of. And first night there, you know, it was just very exotic wildlife. Because it wasn't like a real suburb where it was a forest and shit like that. It was just not in the city. It wasn't in Liberty City no more.
Yeah.
So we
what
get
was this called? What area is this?
This in Carroll City.
Okay.
This is what, I mean, now it's like, you know, that's where Rick Ross and everybody from.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so it ain't, like I said, it wasn't that far out. But,
okay. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Once, you know, black people were able to move there.
It's like the Queens of Miami. Like you get a little bit of lawn, a little bit of, you might get an upstairs and downstairs.
A little bit. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, I guess you would say that.
Okay.
I guess you would say that in today's New York. So you go out, you got a little house, you know what I'm saying? It's mostly white at this time.
Okay.
And the first night there, you know what I'm saying? First thing, it was a possum, big ass possum and its brood.
I can't fuck.
Oh, man.
Crawling across the electric wire, you know what I'm saying, in the backyard.
Oh, it was so up in the air.
Okay. Like, what the fuck? So my dad pointed that out, like, yeah, that's a possum.
And the shit's big as hell, man.
It's big as hell. It's like a big ass rat. Like a dog rat.
Yeah,
and a whole family of them, like three of them back to back.
Crossing on the wire.
So, you know, as a kid, I'm like, you know what I'm saying, 5 years old, I'm shook. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, shit. Like, you ain't never seen this shit like this. And then right after that, you know, my pops heard this noise.
Yeah.
And then so he, you know, shined the flashlight in the corner, like, of the back porch. And it was this big ass frog that was like, it was more like a toad, but it was obese.
Yeah, yeah,
it was too fucking fat. It couldn't even jump. So it was like a big, wide-ass, obese, fucking
diabetic
loaf
frog.
Of bread, diabetic, you know what I'm saying, frog. and the motherfucker couldn't jump. And then my pops kept pushing me towards it like, go get it, go get it. I'm like, man, shit.
What you supposed to do when you got kids?
You out your motherfucking mind. I ain't going to get shit. So he kept pushing me on me. But you know, needless to say, I ain't go get the shit. But I didn't fuck with no frogs after that, period.
I was in Tampa. We was in Tampa this summer doing a gig. They had us at the Comedy Condo. As soon as we opened the door, a big-ass frog, like a toad, just hopped out. That shit scared the shit out of me, dog. I was like, nah, I can't fuck with this. This shit just is a root, like, just out of nowhere. Can't fuck with it. Yeah, I'm dead serious. You know what it is about those type of things, rodents, frogs, shit like that? It's the... They come out of nowhere, so you're not prepared for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, oh, shit.
And they got strange-ass motions and shit.
And typically, they fast or they're like erratic.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know which way they going to motherfucking go.
Because they more scared of you than you are of them, and they move
but
scared.
But nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, nobody. Shit.
Everybody's scared.
I've damn near run out my crib because of mouse one time back in the day. I ran out my crib for like an hour.
Man.
I was sucking, man. I went out. You know what's so funny? Go ahead.
So, I said, meanwhile, you're the one paying rent there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I got brave once my dad bought me a BB gun. Then I ain't give a fuck.
But you ever notice, and this might sound crazy, but when you get a BB gun, you can never find no animals around.
Oh, I find animals. I went hunting every day after school. Bow, bow.
You get the BB gun, they don't never be around.
Lizards, frogs, everything getting it.
Damn. Shout out to
people. Yeah, I tell you right now, I'm afraid of spiders, man.
Yeah,
spiders always get me, dude. I saw arachnophobia when I was a kid, and that's just that day, dude. I don't mess with any kind of spider.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
I don't touch them.
That shit cray.
You ever seen? Remember Creep Show?
Oh hell yeah!
I mean, I remember it. I didn't.
There's a Creep Show is like a bunch of different like vignettes of like just the scariest shit that could happen. But there's one where this cat's crib gets taken over by roaches. And like, like millions of roaches, even like white roaches and shit like that, they all come up. Yo, to this day, I still can't watch that shit without getting fucking
creepy crawlies up the skin and shit.
Anyway,
that shit.
It's so funny how we could grow up in urban environments around like drugs and guns, but you know, a little insect walk up in there.
Yeah, but
forget about it.
Drugs and guns, that's human shit. You know what I'm saying? We understand human shit. All that other shit is kind of alien when you first get it. You know what I'm saying? When you first see it, it's like an alien shit.
Yeah.
The fuck is that?
Yeah, that's bananas, man.
Did y'all see Kevin Hart's SNL?
Yeah, I saw it. It was cool.
What you think?
It was cool. I liked the Bushwick sketch.
The gentrification sketch.
The gentrification sketch was funny because I liked the fact that he shot him at the end. I shot him. I thought that was a nice.
You shot him in front of the bitches?
Yeah, he shot him in front of the bitches. I thought that was funny.
It's crazy because in Best-Eye Fort Greene, Clinton Hill area, they have a black. It's a guy who's a very popular dog walker, and he's a black dude.
Uh-huh.
And all of, you know what I'm saying? My wife was talking about him because one of her friends, they have a dog, and he walks their dog, and they were raving how good he is with the dog. Yeah. She's like the dog whisperer and shit.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I wonder if they based that shit off of him.
Maybe.
Because he's been around about 5 years, and he's like, you know, so you see a black dude coming through Best-Eye with a whole troop of dogs.
That could be him.
Getting money out here.
That if you could really learn that dog whispering shit, you are good. Mm-hmm. You are good right now, especially right now. All these motherfuckers with these dogs that need to be whispered to.
All these dogs with these jobs that they can't get home to the dogs.
Man, listen.
All these latchkey ass dogs.
What's his name? Dogs, just wayward ass dogs.
Free range.
Wayward.
This cat I know, he worked with Cesar Millan. He said that shit be like, it'd be like when the show starts at like 7, motherfuckers would be packed outside waiting for like 3 hours beforehand. And then like a couple hours before that, if you bring your dog in time, he'll actually use your dog in one of the things. He said that shit be packed. Like it's, he's the one right now. If you could prove that you could talk to these dogs and they understand what you're talking about, you got a lock on some money, because woo.
Yeah, my man be coming through with a bunch of dogs daily.
That's dope. That's good to see.
I just think there's got to be a B-side to Cesar Millan. Like, there's got to be some tapes out there where he didn't do a good job.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
You
know what I mean? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, you know. Like, you can't control them bitches.
You know what I mean? Just a ravage old dog. He can't, he's like, listen, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow, wow.
What you think of the SNL?
I thought it was.
I gotta tell you, man. I saw Kevin on the Breakfast Club interview. Kevin's the best, man. I thought his work ethic is just, it's inspiring, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I caught it on, of course, online. So I'm not sure if all of the segments was online, but you know, his monologue was very Kevin Hart. You know what I'm saying? It was classic Kevin. He did his thing in his way that, you know what I'm saying, that was funny. It was, you know what I'm saying, it was funny. And then I saw the gentrification piece. I didn't really get that whole dragon joint.
Oh,
I mean, all the singing shit. It was cool, but you know what I'm saying.
What dragon?
It was a sketch where, you know, they were back in time and every time it was a dragon coming to attack the castle, but they all break out in song, you know what I'm saying, for every situation, so they wouldn't get out the fucking castle because they were all singing every step of the way. But, you know.
Oh, I think I saw that. He was like, yo, these my pants, that shit, where he's like, he had the little pants or whatever. He's like, are these my pants and all of that?
I don't know. Like I said, I ain't really fuck with that one. But, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, Kevin Hart is doing Kevin Hart and he in his season right now. So, you know what I mean? That's really all he has to do is do himself. You know what I mean? He tells his story in his way and shit. I mean, even in his monologue, he was talking about some of that same shit y'all was talking about with the mice and the fucking frogs and shit, where he was scared of, he lives in a
with the raccoon.
So, you know what I'm saying? All that shit was kind of funny.
Nah, the shit is crazy, man.
You know what I mean? So, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, this weekend, man, it was all, you know, playoffs.
Yeah, man. It was funny because it was like, we lost Vlad. Vlad will be back next week.
Vladimir.
But, playoffs was crazy in the way that, It was like two different fucking games. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it was two different games. But, like, the Seattle Green Bay game, that shit was like a Disney movie, dog. That comeback was amazing. And then the Patriots game, that shit was just a fucking blowout.
It's funny, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a real football fanatic and no shit like that. You know, I like the playoffs when they come around, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I fucks with the Super Bowl on some hot wings and, you know what I'm saying, drinking some beer.
Of course.
But, you know, for some reason, I was like, damn, what's up with the playoffs? And I turned the game on. It was like, you know what I'm saying, second half.
Yeah.
So I caught the best of the Seattle game. Like, I was like, if any game of the year that I should have watched, that was the one.
Yeah.
So I was happy about that. You know
what I'm saying? I was happy about that. Seattle like that team, too. Like, right. You know, the Giants ain't there, but the Seattle, they just got a good little squad. They got Sherman, they got Wilson, they got Lynch. Like, they got the squad that we ain't even need to do that. We got the squad that that you wanted to see.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, I haven't followed none of the teams in years, but the Marshawn Lynch, after watching that game, after seeing him break that touchdown, and just seeing how, you know, at that point, Seattle, their whole body language was like, you know what I'm saying, damn, we getting beat up out here. Uh-huh. We might not make it.
Yeah.
But it seemed like every time that he got the ball, he was like, shit, we about to get this. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about.
Like the backbone.
And he came through with that touchdown and then grabbed his dick on him.
Oh, nah. Remember, he stopped himself, though. He was about to. He was like, chill, let me chill.
Yeah, I mean, he did it. He hit him first.
Yeah,
he pulled it up like he already knew what it was, but he had already executed this.
He's a funny dude. He's a funny dude, but I like it. They got characters. Executed. They got some characters on there. Him, Sherman, you know. Vlad, you back?
I'm back in the building, y'all. Sorry about the little.
That's what's up.
Hey, we talking about the Super. We talking about the playoffs right now.
Oh, okay, I wanted to ask you guys a question about the Kevin Hart thing, but
go ahead.
I don't know if you guys acted already, but did you guys feel a way about the James Brown sketch?
What about it?
That sketch is so Eddie Murphy.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eddie did it, he buried it. Yeah. And I was just curious why they would bring that back.
That's another generation ago, though. That was years ago.
And it kind of could have been an homage. It could have kind of been an homage to him.
Yeah.
Though.
I'm not for it or against it, but I felt conflicted.
Right.
But
you know, it's
pick a side. Because you for it or against it, man?
You ain't like that shit, huh?
You brought it up. You told us to call you back.
You ain't like that shit, huh?
I was a little against it.
Say fuck that shit, then. So you ain't like that shit.
I ain't like that shit.
It's like Eddie, you know, Eddie buried that. Eddie buried that. He killed
it. I guess so.
Well, but you know what I'm saying? My kids love Kevin Hart. Like, if I take my 14-year-old, right? He loves Kevin Hart. And he saw Get On Up. And he thought that was a good movie. So I don't know if he's seen it, you know what I'm saying? But I think he wouldn't even have an Eddie Murphy reference for that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would be Kevin Hart playing Get On Up in his mind.
Yeah. I feel like it was more, if anything, more of an homage to Eddie. Because, you know, it's so funny, okay. I didn't even realize it until, like, later. And obviously that is such a signature Eddie Murphy, you know, James Brown hot tub and all of that shit.
Don't get in the hot tub.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't think it was that bad. And I thought, if anything, it was an homage. Because I do feel like, outside of Get On Up, most kids probably wouldn't even know really any of those James Brown references. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I will say this though. It's funny talking to people about Kevin Hart. I've talked to about maybe two, three people this week about Kevin, and they all say the same thing when I approach them on it. They all go, you know, my kids love him.
Yeah,
right.
It's just an interesting thing to say. I feel like Kevin. A lot of people will, that's what they say about Kevin, like, my kids love him, as opposed to, like, saying, hey, you know, I love him a lot, but they just kind of put out the fact that the earlier generation is who loves Kevin.
Yeah, but I mean, he's making that kind of impact, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's, you know, his numbers are not lying. It's not all kids going to see these movies, you know what I'm saying? Think Like a Man, that ain't no kid movie, you know what I mean? Ride Along, you know, you might get some kids in there, but at the same time, you know, it's a lot of people going to watch what he's doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast right now. You know, he's really doing it.
Yeah, man. What were you saying?
I mean, he said on the record he was trying to break Eddie's record for the theater, you know, the theater stand-up special.
Man, he's going for it.
He got to, man. Why wouldn't he? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't he go for it? He in his moment right now, you know what I mean? He Master P, Colonel of the Tank moment.
Well, this is a critique I keep hearing about Kevin. I actually want to ask you two guys about this. Do you feel like Kevin Hart is the same in every film? Does Kevin have any range? Or do you feel like it's just Kevin doing an impression of himself?
I don't think it really matters. Myself personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's him doing his thing. I think he's getting to the point to where he can start being himself. But he's him. He's right. Got his own thing. He's been his own guy since, like, even Paper Soldiers. He has that, you know, kind of, you know, short guy, overcompensating, man, right. Funny. Like, it's who he is. It's similar like how Cat Williams has his own thing, or right. Chris Rock has his own thing. Like, a lot of people, it's part of their act. It's who they are.
And I think they hire him to bring that to the table. You know
right,
what I'm
right, right, right,
so,
right, 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 right.
So to go back to what you said about telling your story, you know what I'm saying? He has told this story, and people are buying that, you know what I'm saying? And people are hiring him for that. And, you know what I'm saying, whether he's in the wedding ring, he's just going to put his spin, his point of view to whatever story he's in.
Yeah.
So, and until that plays out, he could do it. I mean, a lot of the Eddie Murphy movies was, you know what I'm saying, Eddie Murphy being that same kind of dude, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's
Beverly Hills Cop,
48 Hours, you know what I mean? A lot of those was the, you know what I'm saying? He's going to bring that out in a lot of those movies. Man, you loud over there, Vlad.
No, absolutely. No, I'm sorry. It's my mic. It's just, I would love to see Kevin, and maybe he's done already, but I would love to see Kevin in a dramatic role.
Go check out The Stand. Russ Parr is The Stand. That was dramatic.
Russ Parr is The Stand?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
All right, bet.
The Stand.
All right. So what else is cracking?
Man, that shit, man.
I guess it's just the afterthought I had, but like.
The afterthought.
It's funny how some people get famous to the point where they start doing an impression of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of why I want to see Kevin in that dramatic role, because I feel like he has it in him to kind of. I feel like he has so much range that people aren't giving him a chance, or he hasn't decided to do. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, his run has been a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as in the movies, so like, you know, 3-4 years. So for 6-7 movies, you know what I mean? He's making the most out of what's working. At this point,
yeah.
And then
absolutely.
And then when he's ready to change it up or switch it up, we'll see if that works.
You know, that happens with a lot of comedians, though. If you think about comedians and the roles they play, typically you say the comedian's name in the movie. You'd be like, oh, Dave Chappelle and You've Got Mail or Chris Rock. And it only ever so often, like, Chris Rock is Pookie. You know what I'm saying? Or that, you know, but, like, more often than not, you don't say this guy in this role where they assume that role. You understand? Like,
right.
Whereas if you're an actor's actor, you bring that character to life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's very rare, especially if you're like a big-time comedian who's known as a comedian, not a comedic, not a comedy actor who might do comedy that you don't know, but he's a comedian and he's doing these shows. It's really hard for you to jump into a role that's bigger than yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because part of the reason you got that role was who you are. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, we got to get Kevin Hart for this because that's Kevin Hart. We got to get Louis C.K. for this because that's Louis C.K. You don't say, oh, Louis C.K. really killed it as Reginald in whatever movie. Niggas don't say that. It's Louis C.K. You know? So
yeah, I mean, like I said, at a certain point it is casting, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so I think we're going to transform and roll out. Somebody got something else to say. Vlad, where you going to be at this week?
Oh, man, I am at, I'm in Jersey on Thursday in a Hoboken and playing a little spot called Maxwell's.
Okay.
And then on Friday, I'm at Mount St. Mary College up in Newburgh.
All right.
And then Saturday, I'm hosting at the Stand. You guys catching the Stand NYC on Saturday. So that's my week right there.
That's what's up.
Nice.
Man, what about you, Mahan?
Nice, man. We're going to be at B&H. doing some things. You know what I mean? And then getting ready for All-Star, man. We got a big All-Star weekend. You know what I'm saying? Doing a lot of shooting and making a lot of content during All-Star. So that's what we're preparing for and getting a lot of stuff together for that. So catch us online, Mr. Muhammad on Instagram, you know what I'm saying? On SoundCloud, you know, in the conversation and all that good stuff.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yo, shit, I'm on Geico tonight. We back, season five. You know what I'm saying? That's there. I'm at the Arlington Improv this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, 22nd through the 25th. So come out to that, and then I'm gonna be in I'll be a stand up Scottsdale from I want to say February 4th through the 6th. Check out DamianLemon.com. I think I have it up there now, but stand up Scottsdale and the Arlington Improv this weekend. So and we'll see you next week. On In the Conversation.
In the Conversation.
We out.
Here.
Out this bitch.